don't do these.
I'll come here after this year, but I think they have through next Thursday.
That's it, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Do people prepare Laytop? We can start Laytop? Yeah. Okay. So let's start with Laytop. We'll do this off plug in and the other ones that we're all doing our best to get in. We have June and we'll see. Okay, so let's start with Laytop. If, again, you should do the, if you haven't already, but I'll give you more specific things tomorrow, but just to get a general sense of the topic, at least to begin with, we'll start with the Gemara here, Vom Leg. We'll start with this right now, Vom Leg Base to Chesam and Aleph, just to get some of the issues down. So, Takanta Nikula. With, again, start with Maharaj Tosin Rambam, hopefully you've been already, and also the parallel in Gittin, which is Mishnah and Mem Chesam Beis, which also some people have seen. Mem Chesam Beis to the Shakla Tarya on Nun Amin Aleph, until Ein Defray Benichse Yisalmin. Okay. Let's do that. And then the question of Psak, Kirabi Shmuel or Kirabi Kiva, which we'll talk about already today. Rif, Rosh, Rambam. Again, whatever you don't think to today, it's Tuesday. Aleph Beis, Ches Yud Aleph, Ches Aleph. Again, hopefully we'll get a lot of this done. And also just very quickly, Mazik Kanchim, which comes up here, which we talked about before, but just to see some of the things al Atar. That's the 2 days in Rashi. You also look at the in the back, the Mefarshim Marshal and the Marsha, and the Maram. What exactly Rashi means in that second day. The Chiddush HaRaivit, I think we mentioned it earlier in the year, but if not, you should look at it. The Chiddush HaRaivit here. Of course, Tosis, which we've talked about a few times. The Rambam in Ches Aleph. The Meiri we talked about on Chav Gimel and the Menchas Chinuch. But we'll just, you know, refer back to them a little bit. Maybe we'll get a chance, again, we're running out of time, so I don't know when we're going to do this, but I want to talk about Rabbi Yossi Aglili a little bit, and maybe we'll just talk about some, at least categories of Kudshim in terms of the difference. We talked a little bit about you know, Dovra Gorn Lamamon, Kudshim Shechai Bachar Yusan, but a little bit of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Kudshim Izbeach, Kudshim Benek Abayis. We'll talk about that hopefully a little bit as well. Okay, so let's begin with some of the Shaka Vitaria, which okay, we can start on all of this. Liam, you want to read for us? Go ahead. Oh, so pretty strange already, the little bit mysterious doings here in the Gemara, right, you know, in terms of, you know, what we mean by all of this. And the Gemara is going to try to pin it down, as we'll see in a sec. Okay, go ahead. So the Gemara originally thought that, what did Rabbi Shmuel mean? That's what the Gemara thought. Again, it's hard to know whether to take this very seriously as a Havamina or not. But let's, you know, err on the side of caution, I guess, for the moment. So what do you make of that? That the Gemara really thought, even for a glancing second, that it would be a possibility of Achol Kachusha Mishalem Shmeina. What do you think?
Kind of sounds like Knas.
Yeah. So it sounds either like Knas. But again, let's assume a Knas Doraisa for the moment, because it sounds like Rabbi, as we'll soon see, clearly we understand that Rabbi Ishmael is dealing with the Din Doraisa, right? So again, the phenomenon of a Knas Doraisa is not something that is so unheard of. You know, we've encountered it before, and we'll see in a moment that it could be that this is a very explicit one. You know, based on what? Based on who's... okay, we'll get to that in a second. But the Sugya and Gittin you saw or not? Okay, so we'll get to it in just a second that the Ravina in the Sugya and Gittin is of, seems to be of the opinion that that this is a Knas Doraisa. Because the Mishnah in Gittin
uses what expression about all of this? You're familiar? You didn't see this thing put in Gittin Park, so make sure for tomorrow. But we'll have to talk about it anyway, just you should go through it. The Mishnah, of course, in Gittin is in the Tikkun Olam section of Mishnayos in Gittin. So it sounds like whatever they're talking about there in Gittin, right, is Mishum Tikkun Olam. Tikkun Olam, default, is something that we would think would be a Din D'Rabbanan, correct? And that's the first assumption of the Gemara there. Again, the Mishnah in Gittin on Mem Ches Amud Beis, quotes the Din of Meit, Hanizakin Shamin Lahen Be'idis, right? The Balcho Be'Beinonis, Uksuv Asisha Be'Ziburis. Rabbeir Omer Av Ksuv Asisha Be'Beinonis. Then you have the Din of Ein Defroim B'Nechasim B'Shubadim, B'Mokrim Sheish Nechasim B'Nechorim, Afilo Ein Ziburis, and then Ein Defroim B'Nechse Yisomi, B'Lemanam Ziburis, Ein Motzin L'Achilas Peres U'L'Shevach Karkos, U'L'Mazon Isha Habanos B'Nechasim B'Shubadim B'Nei Tikkun Olam, So assume that the Mdei Tikkun Olam goes on the entire Mishnah, which the Gemara does. So it sounds like that the first halacha in the Mishnah, this is the first Mishnah in the fifth parak, is telling us that Nizakin Shamin Be'idis is a Tikkun Olam. Right? So the Gemara says, Mdei Tikkun Olam Doraisahi. Right? It's Siv, Meta Sadehu, Meta Karmo Yeshalim. Correct? So that's the very problematic. So the Gemara basically has two views. One is Amar Abaya, Lo Tzricha El Rabbi Yishmael, which we're going to get to in a minute. Amar B'Daraisa B'Nizik Shaiminan, Kamashmon B'Nei Tukan Olam, Shaiminan B'Demazik. Okay, we don't know that from our Gemara, that maybe Rabbi Yishmael actually agrees on a pragmatic level, on a policy level with Rabbi Akiva, but that's one suggestion of the Gemara. It's a biased suggestion in Gittin. That's why Gittin is so important to use as a parallel. Then the Gemara has on Mem Tes Amud Beis. Then the Gemara Mem Tes Amud Beis quotes Ravina, right, who says this is like four lines into the Gemara. Ravina Amar Liola Masnisa after a lot of. Recycling of the Gemara that we have here in Bava Kamma, then the Gemara has Rabina Amar Liola Masis and Rabbi Akiva. He, maybe the Mishnah is Rabbi Akiva. The Amar B'Daraisa B'Demazik Shaiminan, right? Rabbi Shimon he, the Darish time of the Kra. Ma Tam Ka Amar Ma Tam Hanizakin Shamin Lahem Beidis Mipnei Tikun Haola. Okay, Tanya Amar Rabbi Shimon Mipnei Ma Amru. Hanizakin Shamel Hembeidus Mipnei Gazlanim Umipnei Chamsanim, right? Kadesh Yomer Adam Lamani Gozel VeLamani Chomes. It's not worth it for me, right? Lamachar Bezdin Yordin LeNichsai VeNotlin Sadanah Sheli, right? VeSomchan Amasha Kasa Batara Meit of Sadeu Meit of Karmi Shalim. Meaning, they do this legally. Lefika Chamru Hanizakin Shamel Hembeidus. Right, etc. And then they go on to explain the other cases. So if you hold like Abaya, right, so then this Tikkun Olam means Tikkun Olam, I mean it's a Din D'Rabbanan, and it's in contrast to the Din D'Oraisa. Okay, we're more interested here in the Din D'Oraisa, obviously, because we're just in the principle. So what's mechudash about Abaya is the fact that Rabbi Yishmael Lamaisa holds, Shamin bin Amazik. That's important in terms of figuring out, Rishonim who paskin one way or another, whether they're really paskin like Rabbi Shmuel or they're really paskin like Rabbi Akiva, Minatorah, people like the Rambam, for example. We'll get to that in just a second. But that aside, far more intriguing is the view of Ravina, right, who is suggesting that the Rabbi Akiva's view, which is Shamin B'Demazik, is a Din D'Oraisa, of course, but it's still Mishum Tikkun Olam. Okay? So the Ravina's view of Tikkun Olam certainly sounds like it's a kind of either you called it a knas, so either it's a knas or a deterrent. Right? But sometimes knasas themselves are deterrents. Sometimes a knas is an excessive punishment, right? And per se, and sometimes it's excessive punishment for the sake of future deterrence. Here it sounds like a future deterrent, kind of a knas. And what's particularly fascinating about it is that, again, because one could have said, you know, if you want to look at it in terms of deterrent, you know, that that's all very well and good when you have a planned mazik. Right, when somebody's intentionally being mazik, so then, you know, it's fine to impose, you know, it's fine to impose an excessive, you know, retribution, you know, for the sake of this policy going forward. That's what a deterrent is all about. But since the din of metav includes all sorts of cases which aren't necessarily in your control, which aren't mazid, or which aren't in control, or both, for example, again, the last sugya that we did is Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, right? And the expansion of the list from Arba v'Sazikin, right? Then you have, you know, Rav Oshia, you know, the 13, and then you have the 24 of Rav Chiya. And the whole point in the last piece of the Gemara that we read on Vav Amud Aleph was that the Gemara says that the, you know, the point of it all, in addition, is Meitav. So there are things on that Meitav list that on the surface have nothing to do with mazid or deterrence or anything. I mean, you have, you're just starting from each list, right? I mean, even in this case, Mamon. So, you know, we all agree that, you know, Anus Gomor, you know, would be Patur, but, you know, it's still different than looking at somebody as a, you know, as a mazik who requires, me the Bailim, as a mazik who requires, you know, either excessive punishment or, and, you know, deterrence, you know, as we know. Sam Shvarim could be Becheska Shimur Kaimi, and if you interpret that the simple way that Rabbeinu Tam and others did, right, we're not even sure why you're, you know, completely chayiv. That in itself is already a knas, right? So it's a knas which also requires an excessive, you know, additional, you know, mode of payment, you know, factor. Right? Shane and Regel, again, you know, doesn't do it intentionally at all, and it's just, you know, Derech, you know, Habehema. So, again, you could say these all incur, but it's very strange to see these as deterrent. And if you're dealing with the list of Rav Oshia, you know, so you have the Shomrim, again, the Chovel and the Gazlin and the Ganav, you know, that's fine. But I'm sorry, the Chovel and the Shomrim part of it, you know, particularly the Shoel part of it, right? There's no deterrent, you know, really. And again, even part of the din of Shomer Sachar, there's no real deterrent factor there. And if you're talking about Rav Chiya, right? So again, you have the Gonav and the Gazlin, you have, you know, some, you know, Hezek Sheino Nikars. There you have some, but again, you have others which don't seem to qualify. Which is probably why the Gemara in Gittin, and Ravina, you know, is formulated the way that it is. Notice he doesn't say, you know, that Meitav is a constant deterrent, or that it's, you know, justified as a deterrent in all cases. Right? What he really says is, you know, Mipnei Agazonim and Mipnei Achamsanim. Right? Which is fascinating, you know, he doesn't even include some of the, you know, potential. I mean, I wasn't working so hard, but I was just trying to explain that there are plenty of items on each of the three lists which don't seem to qualify, you know, for excessive punishment or deterrent. But on the flip opposite side of it, what Ravina really says is, you know, pretty much, or sounds like he's saying, that the only ones that really do are Gezela and Chamas, right? Apparently not even Chovel. Why? Because Chovel is something that happens at the heat of the moment, or like he's not a, you know, he's not a violent man, but he can act of violent, but Gazlan and Chamson is always a kind of a cynical shikul. It doesn't happen unless you plan it and think about it, right? There's no, you know, it's not a response to anything. It's just pure greed and selfishness. So whatever it is, it's fascinating. There are two things that are fascinating. Number one, those seem to be the only ones that qualify for it. But number two, the whole list, I mean, it's just think of it this way for Ravina. I mean, everything is metav because of the tikkun olam d'oraisa of Chamsun and Gazlan? Like, that's pretty strange. Why did they just limit metav to Chamsun and Gazlan? So I think there are two things to say about that. Right? One is that Chamsun and Gazlan, you know, are not the only things. They're an example. They're the obvious examples. And then, you know, by virtue of the fact that all this is on the same list, you know, makes you wonder, you know, whether there isn't, you know, some echo or element or dimension, you know, of Chamsun and Gazlan, you know, in all the Avos and Ezekin in one way or another. You know, these are the obvious ones. And, you know, we should understand by the association. And again, you know, we've been dealing a lot this whole year with lists, right? And the idea that, you know, when are lists significant and when not? You know, we've tried to build the case that lists, these lists, in any case, not all lists, but these lists are significant. Actually, it's one of the things we were saying, I believe, in the last year, was that maybe the list in Gittin, right, we're talking about, you know, if I recall, Midamea, right, and you know, Ma'arev V'yayinesach. One of the things I was trying to say was that Midamea could be different than, why is you know, Ma'arev V'yayinesach potentially, not my question, the question that Rishonim and Achronim have, on the list in Anizakin, but not on the list in Bava Kamma. So one of the things we were trying to say was that this is a list of Avos Nezikin, you know, and that's a list, you know, of Tikkun Olam, and that's a difference. Well, that's a pragmatic list, maybe. This is a, meaning here we're talking about Mazikin, so it's a more conceptual list. But anyways, getting back to it, I think it's very strange to say, you know, the way that Ravina presents it, which is B'chadash to begin with, how does that extend to the other 20, you know, two or so? The truth is that Chamsun isn't even on the list, but that's also, you know, worth noting that obviously Chamsun is considered to be, you know, according to Ravina at least, a moderate form of Gazlan, which it sounds like, and probably everybody agrees it is, even though sometimes it doesn't look that way, but that's not for now. So that's one thing. That is that, you know, here it's obvious, and then, you know, we should be working a little bit harder, you know, to understand that the association implies that there's a little Gazlan and Chamsun, you know, even in Shoel, hard to say in Shoel, but whatever, even in the others, or at least in the categories, you know, etc. That's one. Or, maybe also Mechudash, that's Mechudash, obviously, but equally Mechudash is to say that because these are you know, fundamentally one category, again, that the common denominator and the Shemazik, excuse me, binds them together, unites them despite other differences, that the Tikkun HaOlam, you know, which applies to Chamsun and to Gazlan, right, is therefore Al-Pidin applied to the others, even though they don't really qualify, even in a subtle way, you know, for this halacha. In other words, that the two things, I think, go into this perspective. One is that Tikkun Olam isn't the entire story here. Right? Tikkun Olam, you know, is what determines a certain policy in Tashlumin. I'll explain what I mean in a minute, and it's going to be very familiar. But it's that policy, you know, which we have to reckon with. Okay, and secondly, that it's important. Again, the list is important enough in terms of, you know, Shem Mazik and the Mechayev of Mazik, etc. You know, that policy, you know, apply across the board. Okay, so what do I mean by that? And once you say this, of course, you could also drop the whole Tikkun Olam. I wouldn't drop it for Ravina, because Ravina says it. And we're trying to explain what his position is based on. I think, again, it's a very important line, because it really, I think, spotlights this whole problem. But let's say we didn't have Ravina, or let's say we didn't paskin like Ravina. Let's say we were totally convinced at the end of the day that the Tikkun Olam of the Mishnah in Gittin, right, is support for Rabbi Yishmael, but a Rabbi Yishmael who believes on a policy level like Rabbi Akiva. Okay? And that it's a din d'rabbanan, and therefore it's not relevant to our bigger discussion at the moment of what Meitav or Idis or, you know, Tashlum and Doraisa, you know, is all about. Let's say we're to take that position. But we're still left with the interesting question of trying to wonder, you know, what this din of Meitav, you know, might be all about. Right? So it's not the first time that we've encountered this phenomenon. Right? We've encountered it, you know, in a recurring fashion this year. And again, including our discussion of Rabbi Chiya and Rabbi Oshia. And that is that the mode of payment, right, how you pay, sometimes isn't just a narrow, separate question, right, which it can be, especially if you look at it purely from a Tikkun Olam point of view, right, purely as a knas, purely as a deterrent, which is why we're getting to this point. So why not leave it just for Chamson and Gazlan, or the ones that are relevant, or Chovel, or the ones that are maybe Adam HaMazik. But that sometimes the mode of payment, right, reflects a different mechai. Okay, this is what we saw, you know, in the whole discussion of Dmei Karka Kakarka, you know, and Chabalah and Mazik and the Rambam and the Raivid and the Magid Mishnah, right, and Reb Chaim, you know, in that whole discussion, right? And this is what we saw when we were talking about, I gave the example of Rashi when it came to Kefa and Dal and Behe, right? That you could even have a financial discrepancy. Sometimes it can be the case that, you know, how you pay will influence how much you pay. Right? And why should that ever be? Right? You know, so in addition to the pragmatic question of some of the Rishonim, it's like who's out of his mind, you know, what masochist is going to pay the higher price. Right, I think we discussed that part of the problem. But, you know, this just how could it be? But the answer is, it depends on how you perceive this obligation and this payment. So again, just stick to the same categories, although you might have to, you know, adjust them a little bit. But at the end of the day, let's say, you know, the more we look at something in terms of dollars and cents and value and compensation, you know, the less we look at be'ens and the more we look at value, right, the stranger that notion is. Then, you know, there might be a preference in a mode of payment, like Rashi here in the beginning of Ani Zaken, you know, be'ivish, she'benichse amazik, right, this is based, she'noach lo la'adam ligvos, you know, what's the mentality behind it, mu'at bakarka, idis ve'o ligvos harbe miziburis. That's why he adds that. But there might be some preference. But so, in theory, the mode of payment could just be a chumrah, and a kula, and a knas, and a deterrent. 100%. I'm never denying that. I think that is always pashtus. That's the default first assumption you would make. I just think that the evidence ends up being contradictory to it often. So then what is this idea? It's, again, the idea of, you know, why it is that you're paying, and the subtle differences between, you know, paying value and therefore compensating after the fact, and either paying a kind of knas d'oraisa, chiyuv tashlumin, corresponding to the loss, right? Or, better even in some cases, restoration, you know, trying to undo what you did, not just compensate for it. The more we look at the mechayev in terms of the be'en, right, the more the mode of payment, you know, may focus on the kind of be'en that you, no, it's its replacement. Again, I think there are actually three things. There's financial compensation, there is replacement, and there is, you know, a kind of restoration where, you know, you try to undo what you did, you know, ki'ilu, you know, nothing happened. Those are also slight, those last two are also slightly different from each other, obviously. So the idea of metav sadeyu, you know, paying a better quality be'en, you know, when you, especially when you relate to it as a be'en, we'll see, you know, what the difference is between subin, taltalin, you know, karka, you know, etc. Is that just in terms of what constitutes metav? Or is that, you know, also, you know, represent this idea of different modes, you know, for different mechayvim? You know, we'll get back to that. But it could very well be that that's what's going on here, both within Ravina, if we say this idea, namely that, you know, again, not idea number one, you know, and that is that Chamson and Goslin are examples, and now we have to dig deeper because of the list to find, you know, the inner Chamson and Goslin, you know, of every other, you know, list member. But the idea that, you know, really this is a din in Chamson and Goslin, that's one of the reasons, let's say, that we go the, you know, replacement, you know, rather than the financial compensation or the, you know, be'en, you know, route as opposed to the shovi or erech or mamon route. But then what we're saying is, you know, you have to be consistent with that as the din d'oraisa. So, you know, then maybe that's what puts it over the top when it comes to mazik or assessing, you know, should we be looking at it, should we be, you know, taking this alternative or that alternative? So maybe this factor, you know, pushes it over the top. And but, you know, once it applies to some, it applies to all for that reason. But what I'm saying now is that given this perspective, we could also liberate or disentangle, depending on your point of view, you know, this from the whole Ravina and Tikkun Olam question to begin with. I mean, forget about Ravina and Tikkun Olam. Let's assume Abaya's Tikkun Olam. Nothing to do. Let's just say, what does, you know, what does Abaya, what does Rabbi Ishmael and Rabbi Akiva think, Midoraisa? Forget about the word Tikkun Olam in the Mishnah. Right. So even in that alone, right, we could just, and then you don't have to deal with the special status of Chamson and Goslin. Just what is this din d'oraisa of Meitav Sadeu Yishalim? I'm saying in light of these other examples, you might say that it has to do with the Mechai. And then there's this question again of Mazik, again, Knas d'oraisa, restoration, replacement, you know, going back to the question, is mazik really about just quid pro quo? Because if it was just about quid pro quo, right, then metav, you know, makes no sense. Not as knas, not as deterrent, and not as, you know, restoration, replacement, you know, etc. Right? For the same reason that, you know, this chayvus midas, you know, doesn't have this kind of a, all right, that could be more for technical reasons, but the point is that the more quid pro quo you are, the more, you know, you should just be paid. And we should be interested then in the return of value. There should be choice in what you choose as long as it's, you know, somewhat appropriate, you know, for you to be paid. But if we think that this is, you know, tashlumin of an iser and or you know, again, mazik habe'en, you know, where the be'en matters, and the mechayev of mazik is something beyond that, and that certainly applies, could apply. We certainly labored hard on that to explain that that might be true not only for the list of our Mishnah, but also may be true for Rabchi and Rav Oshia's list. So then the idea of metav, you know, becomes an important idea. It becomes important enough, and this is not a question so much, but again, a comment, to explain why it seems to be so ubiquitously spoken about. Again, from the very beginning, right in the Mishnah, it's a striking. Again, no question, but I mean, why not just throw in that halacha because it's true, right? But in the end of the day, you know, does it really belong in the Mishnah on Beis Amid Aleph when we're describing, according to at least many, the mechayvim, the separate mechayvim, but the common denominator mechayiv of Nezikin, right? And then again, you know, you have it in Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, you know, in such a prominent way. And if you look in the Rambam, you know, it also sounds that way. Right? The Rambam already mentions this in Perek Aleph, Hilchos Niskei Mamon Halacha Beis. You know, and a bunch of times when he speaks about the, you know, the list on you know, list of different things that pay Meitav, he formulates it. You have to be medayik. Sometimes he does, sometimes he doesn't. You have it there, Alex, on Aleph Beis? Yeah, go ahead. Even though he's going to speak about it later on, where he's going to go into the details. But already, again, you know, I mean, just following the Mishnah, you could say, 100%. But the fact, you know, that it is so upfront in the Mishnah and in the Rambam, again, these are subtleties. I mean, if there are no other indications of it, I wouldn't even bother with it. But what I am saying is, if there's evidence that Meitav, you know, is either knas or deterrent or especially consistent with a singular kind of mechayev or distinguishing mechayev, then the idea that it is, you know, promulgated, you know, prominently, you know, in strategic, you know, places, you know, becomes very consistent with that. So, having said that, getting away from Rabino for the moment, so getting back to this strange Hava Amino of the Gemara. That's how we got to this, right? Yeah? Yeah? So, what was the Hava Amino of the Gemara? Again, we're not sure whether to take it seriously. I mean, the Gemara does shoot it down rather quickly, right? You could say, oh, they're just like, what? Rabbi Shmuel means that? No. You know, lo yitachen. Or, could Rabbi Shmuel mean that? Right? Like a slower lo yitachen, you know? But what, you know, what would it be based on? So the idea that you would pay, you know, such an outrageous, you know, divergence, you'd be paying, you know, for a, you know, for a shmeina, even though all you did was damage a kachusha, right, seems to highlight this idea, either of a kind of knas deterrent, doraisa, etc., it reminds us a lot again of the Rashi Bar Kefa, right? Where you actually do pay a different amount. It's a little bit different there, maybe, but you know, there too you damage something which, you know, whose value was X, and you know, if you're going to pay in kind, then you're going to pay in kind, you know, something which is worth more.
Wow.
So this idea isn't completely, you know, peculiar, right? Okay. Then the Gemara says, goes further with it. Go ahead.
Amar Mini Ravin, Hachamai Eskiran, Don Shachal Arugo Ben Arugos, Vladinan, Ikachu Shachal, Ishmin Achal, Don Sham Shmin.
So what is that?
So he's saying that the case is not where we know he ate Chusha, or we have something, if he ate a Chusha or Shmina. And the Torah is saying that in that specific case, you pay the higher value.
Oh, so again, this, then the Gemara immediately challenges that as well. But again, that implies a little more, they're giving a little more credence to it, let's say. So, you know, what, I mean, Meimanavshach, like, what does this mean? Okay, let's read the rejection of that.
Amar Rava.
Yeah. Okay, let's hold off for a second. So, What was this hava mina? Again, it's one thing if the Gemara just said, well, we don't understand what Rabbi Shmuel means. It can't mean that. You know, okay, that's easy. You could say, oh, that isn't a real hava mina, even though I was suggesting that we err on the side of, you know, a caution and treat it that way. It's a little, you know, dishonest of me to say that because I also think it highlights something that important and true. But, right, okay, fine. So then, but certainly the next line in the Gemara, right, about Safek, notwithstanding its rejection, is intriguing. Okay, so what was behind that? So it sounds like the point may have been this. Or you tell me, Leon. What was the point?
Like, so yes, it's not a outright knas. We're going to acknowledge that that's kind of not rational. But maybe it's, in a Mammon case, where Safek was where we rely on the Torah to tell us how to pass in a Mammon case we don't have to pass.
I mean, this is, obviously, we're not applying the reg like it did in Motzei Mechavel Arai here. We're saying that Motzei Mechavel Arai doesn't apply in this particular case. So it sounds like what we're saying is that we're not going to, you know, an explicit knas, as you say, we're certainly not going to impose. Or let's say, in my other way of saying it, let's say the mode of payment reflecting the Mechayev, you know, maybe that Yisod is correct. But when there's too much of a discrepancy, right, between the mode of payment, you know, and the content of the payment, meaning the value of the payment, you know, then that can undermines even the mechayev of, that doesn't bother us so much that this is out of whack in terms of, you know, shovi and compensation per se. But let's say that the mechayev really is replacement or restoration and therefore a be'en, you know, is more the focus, and once you're dealing with be'ens, it has to be premium be'ens. But then, you know, how can it be premium be'en, you know, if it's a totally different value, right? In other words, what ends up being is that the difference in value ends up being an impediment in some way to replacement and restoration, because you're just not, you know, correspondent. But as long as that isn't explicit, or as long as that is possible, because we have a suffix, right, maybe both on a knas level, like there's nothing obvious, this might be, this is the range, you know, we're not sure. You know, so the point is that there's nothing, the discrepancy bothers us less if it's only a suffix. It seems to be what the idea of the Gemara is, right? And therefore, both, or either, in, I should say, in terms of knas, deterrent, or in terms of this mechayev of restoration, replacement, or whatever it is, right, the discrepancy doesn't bother us, you know, because it's a suffix, you know, connect. It's not vadai. It's not staring us in the face. It's not explicit. We can still perceive this legitimately as a replacement, restoration, etc. Okay, so I think that makes a lot of sense. And then the Gemara says, no, you can't do that, because we still have, you know, the, once you apply Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya, so Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya, this is of course a big issue. Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya is about dollars and cents, you know, and kind of, you know, the status quo ante, A-N-T-E, right? You know, winning out when it comes to that. You know, Safek Mamad Lekula. Or it's also about, you know, as a result of that, it's also about reconstructing, like, how does the halacha, project what happened here? Not on the basis of birur, but just on the basis of hakra. Because if indeed we're not going to charge you, you know, more misafek, so we also, the scenario that we're buying into because of this din, that's a big question in general. Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya. Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya is not, you know, it's like a status quo chazaka. It's not a birur type of a chazaka, unlike, you know, other chazakos or robes, you know, that we have. This is a big question. So all I'm saying is, when the Gemara says, you know, either the Gemara is saying, listen, at the end of the day, you're still not going to charge him more money misafek, or the Gemara is saying, well, Motzei Mechavel Lev Araya, and therefore the assumption should be, you know, bivadai or besafek, whatever you want to call it, that, you know, that the lesser amount was subject to the damage. And then you're back with, you know, ochal, you know, kechusha mishalim shmein. Right. So that I'm just not sure. I think those are two ways to go with that, and that's a moksa mechor olavaraya issue. But either way, I think the Gemara's answer is fine. The fact that the Gemara lingered on and tried to maintain ochal kechusha or safek ochal, you know, kechusha or shmeina mishalim shmeina, I think is more significant than, you know, the fact that the Gemara ultimately rejected it. Yeah.
Is this related to the Rashba on this?
Yeah.
How much does the Could Isser be. Component impact?
I do think I was about to say that also. Correct. Right. In other words, again, another way to, you know, what was a Havamina, you might say. So the Havamina, maybe what I just said a second ago, which is that it isn't flagrant and blatant, you know, and so on. It's just a policy thing, and therefore it doesn't disrupt, you know, the replacement restoration idea. That's one. Or, that's the other thing I was about to say, but Natan, I agree with him, and that is that the more you emphasize the Iser side of Mazik, right, the more understandable Meitav is anyway, right? Again, as a Knas for Maisa Veira, or part of the Mechayev idea, not enough to pay, right? You have to undo or replace. Part of that is because Mazik isn't just quid pro quo, right? So for emphasizing that part of it, you know, then the Rajba, you know, about on base, that, you know, who says safek, you know, lakula always in certain dinim. Maybe sometimes we say safek l'chumra because of the iser. Like, when do you say that? When don't you say it? We pointed out, you know, when we learned it, and then subsequently, you know, when we saw other rajbas, even the rajba himself doesn't deny, of course, he doesn't deny matzim kriya l'varaya as applies to these nezek. I mean, our gemara here is explicit. There are numerous gemaras that are explicit about that. It's only in terms of, like, not practical application, but let's say the categories themselves, right, that you apply, you know, the Rajba idea. So is this a category itself kind of an idea? Or is this a, you know, application in a particular case idea? So that's what I would say. It's here where the two things that I just said, or that what Natan said, or what I say, come together. In other words, in addition to what I was saying, which is that it isn't explicit that there's a discrepancy here, and therefore the replacement idea, you know, sounds legit. It's because within the range, you're looking at it kind of within the range, right? But, you know, still, what about Lemaisa, Motzei Mecheira Olavaraya? The answer is maybe when it comes to this particular issue, it isn't about the money, you know, because we understand that it's, from a money point of view, none of this is justified. It's about, you know, perceiving, you know, this as a mode which reflects the Mechayev. And as such, you know, that comes more under the Rajba base on the base rubric than it does on the, one would have thought. And then the Kamash Malan is, you know, at the end of the day, no. We really just don't know how much the damage was or what was damaged here. It's damaged, it's destroyed. So it's impossible to know, let's say, whether this Aruga was Shemena or Kechusha. And it starts with the practical question, or Motzei Mecheira Olavaraya gives you an answer to the practical question, one or the other, you know, in terms of the scenario. And therefore, it's over. Again, I'm not so troubled by explaining the Maskana. I think it's far more challenging to explain in a compelling way the Havamina. So I do think that that's a way where these two things come together. Yeah?
Is it possible to explain this Havamina here as just being about whether or not Meitav, like, passes the threshold of Mechaira Olavaraya? At the end of the day, Meitav versus non-Meitav, Ziboris versus Edis, the value of the objects is the same. The question just about
regularly. But remember, here we're in the Havamina that it actually is going to potentially.
Well,
in other words, again, we're not sure whether or not. What?
In this Havamina, is it clear that that's a dollar difference versus.
Yeah. No, 100% it's clear. I think. I mean, yeah. Meaning what happened, the Gemara said, Ochal Kechusha Mishalim Shmeina. And then the Gemara said, no. Ochal Safek Kechusha, yeah. Safek Shmeina. And he's Mishalim Shmeina.
Yeah.
That's a dollar difference.
Meaning that's also getting changed.
Yeah. No, I think the question, you know, in other words, you know, he's paying $100 or he's paying $200. That is a real dollar difference. And therefore the Gemara says, all right. Now, I think your question is still a good question on another level. And that's, would you ever say Motzei Mecheira Olavaraya in a suffix, whether or not you're chayav meitav, when there is no dollar difference? Does would you say about the Be'en preference, Motzei Mechaver Olav Araya, or not? That is still a very legitimate, we'll see if we can pin that down. That is a very legitimate question, as to what extent, but that's already when you get back into conventional mode without value difference. Well, we should talk about that. But at this point in the Shock of Tari of the Gemara, we're not talking about that. So that's just an amazing... So I'm just suggesting, A, it kind of gives credence, if you will, or credibility, to the idea that the strange Hava Mina, was a little more legitimate, and that, while there's something technically wrong with implementing it, it wasn't so crazy after all, right? And that this is kind of a form of understanding it, and then, if we're at a point where we have to figure out, well, what's so terrible about it or what's so wrong about it, then we've done our job, and then we can move on because, again, we do understand the Maskana that it's not so. But your question then comes into the regular, and that is, so in the end of the day, no big deal, same price tag anyway, what's the big deal? What's the default there? Or would you go so far as to say that that too is kind of worth money, even though it's not translated into a discrepancy of value? Because again, be'ens matter. Now again, here, when we talk about be'ens mattering? When we talk about that, usually we talk about, Chamsan and Gazlan, and things of that sort, right? In terms of, you didn't steal the guy's value, you only stole his be'en. Right here, of course, we're talking about a slightly different problem, a parallel, but a slightly different problem. Here we're talking about, the ben is already gone, right? The mechayev ben is already gone. Now the question is, do we care about ben's on the level of tashlumin? Right? That could be, that is, it's a different stage in that question. There's no question Motzei Mechaver would apply... I think on the Mechayev level, to destroying a band as opposed to destroying a value, but will it apply on the payment level? That I think is an open question, which we'll see what we can do with that. Okay, Josh had a question? No. All that driving and no questions. Okay, but it was a lot of driving, right? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Good. So, this is, I think, a way to look at the Shagam Atarya. And an interesting way. Okay, let's continue. Elam Ravacha, you did already. So there's no financial aspect whatsoever, right? Let's just go a little further. Go ahead. My time of Rabbi Shmuel. Okay. Rabbi Akiva. Okay. We'll leave the Kalvachomer Hekdesh just for a minute, or hopefully we're going to stop. So we'll get to that hopefully tomorrow. So what is the upshot here? So again, one way to look at the Gemara now, in terms of the Shakar Vitarya, is that the Gemara does 180 degrees. Right? If indeed the Gemara ever, which is the case I was trying to make, but again, I admit that you can read the Gemara otherwise, right? If the Gemara was ever saying something very fundamental about the Mechayev of Mazik and the mode of Tashlumin being a reflection of the Mechayev of Tashlumin, and therefore the considering the possibility of a discrepancy, of paying more, again, punitive measures, knas, deterrent, etc. So whatever the Gemara was, whichever of those two the Gemara was thinking about, seriously. So you could say that, you know, once, and this is, again, just to get to Arya's formulation, once you get to the point where Metav is just about, you know, which, you know, or how, not how much, so, you know, it's all technicality. It's all just that's one way, certainly, to read the Gemara. Or you could say that nothing has changed, right? And that is that whatever we were considering, whether on a knas level, knas deterrent, or mechayev level, right, all of that is still absolutely true. It just doesn't need to have the radical consequences that we were initially weighing or considering, right? Not suffik, and not certainly not vadai. So, you know, the price needs to be the same, because otherwise the correspondence, you know, even if you're talking about, you know, it's too much of a knas and too much of a deterrent, you know, if you want to look at it that way. And certainly if you're talking about replacement, restoration, these kind of a mechayev for an iser, chiyuv tashlumin, by the way, Rabbi Chaim was talking about Kabbalah, they can't really pay for it, so you just have to pay corresponding to it or something like that. If you want to take those, but then it has to be corresponding. You know, if it's too much, it's not corresponding either. It ends up being, you know, that actually ends up ironically undermining, you know, what it is that you're trying to accomplish, right? So then, you know, you can't have the price discrepancy, but you could still wonder, you know, whether the mode of tashlumin isn't significant. Okay, so then you have this interesting argument, right, Liam, between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel. Namely, Rabbi Akiva is saying basically bid nizik shaymin. Rabbi Shmuel, sorry, saying bid nizik shayminan, and Rabbi Akiva is saying bid amazik shayminan. And of course, you know, again, is bid nizik shayminan a chiddush, Rabbi Shmuel? Well, it is. I mean, it's still a chiddush, but I think it was a misleading question. Bidamazik shaymin is a much bigger chiddush than bidanizik shayminan, by that I want to say. But I also want to say that bidanizik shayminan is mechudash. Right? I mean, it's not obvious that, you know, that... Because what does bidanizik shayminan mean?
That we make you pay different than what you damage based on...
Yeah, it's still... You know, kechusha and shemena, it's just not a price discrepancy. So the kechusha and the shemena is from the nizak side. As you destroyed $100 of his kechusha, you know, which was only, I don't know, 1 acre, right? And now we're saying that you have to pay, you know, a half acre of the premium, you know, land. Okay, so that's still out of whack with what you did, and assuming it's better for the, you know, for the nizak, it's still mechudash. Of course, ain't a doma that, at least you could say, you know, at least it all belongs to the nizak and he's the victim. What does it have to do with the, you know, with the perpetrator, right? You know, well, why do we care about his? So again, mashal amad davar doma. Again, it reminds us of the discussion about Kabbalah. Like, that's where you have another example of this. Right? The Gemara is in the very beginning of Perek HaChovel, which we talked about, again, when we talked about Chovel and Mazik and this came along. Right? The Gemara had a Hava Mina. You have it there, Alex? Looks like they're turning those pages, as you should. Even though you want to make a Bezdin and, you know, give up on us. I'll assume that was humorous.
Of course.
Yeah. Yeah, go ahead. The Gemara, the beginning of a Chovel, right, it talks about Ayin Tachasayin being Mamon, not Mamish. Right? Mm-hmm. Now, the Gemara originally thought that it might be Mamish. So whose Ayin is it? You have it there?
Am I Ayin Tachasayin Amar Achmano? Ema Ayin Mamish, Losal Kadaita. Titania Yochel Sima Esenu Misamis Eno, Kotas Yodo Mikateas Yodo, Shiba Estraglo, Mishaber Estraglo, Tamalom or Maka Adam Makabeema, Mamakabeem, Lotashumina, Maka Adam Tashumin, Vimnafskoloma, Harayu Omer, Losukuho for Lenefesh Rotea, Hashir Hurosha Lamos,
the nefesh rotzeach lokeach kofer, aval after lokeach kofer, the rasha yivarim.
I mean, there is such a thing as blood. You know, you pay in blood. You know, we ransom you, if you will. You know, so cut off his limb, whatever. Go ahead.
Hey, maka, ilima maka behem yishal mena maka adam yumas how biktolak ksiv. El mehacha maka nefesh behem yishal mena nefesh tachas nefesh. V'samachlei v'ish kiitin mumba miso kasher asa kini aselo. Hi, love maka hu. Haka kamina. Maka amur behem l'tashlumin af haka amur be'adam l'tashlumin. V'aksiv v'ish kiyake kol nefesh adam mos yumas. B'mamon, mai b'mamon, ima b'misa, mamish. Lo sokodai tachada, daha iskesh machl behema, yishal mena bo tziv basrei, kashe yitin mum ba'adam, kin yasim ba. Uchma mina, mamon. Umayi nafsh kolomar, suka kashya litana, mai chazis di alfis, mimaka behema, leilif mimaka adam, amri dun nizakin, Minizakin, vein dun nizakin mimisa, adrava dun nadam mi adam, vein dun nadam mima, hainu dukdani im nafsh kolomar, hari omer losi kuchofer lenefesh rotzeach, asher urash alamos, ki mosi mas lenefesh rotzeach, lenefesh rotzeach, yeta lokeach kofer, abalata lokeach kofer lerasha ivarim, shen mchosrin, hai losi kuchofer lenefesh rotzeach, lmute rasha ivarim, hu dasa, hai mvoile da amar achmana losavid bay tarte, lo sishkol mine, mamun visikolai, hai. Hi, mikdei rishaso nafka. Rishata achas ata machayvo v'yeter machayvo shtei rishayos. Lechatem b'ayilei the kamar rachmana lusishkol mamon v'sifterai. Imkein lechatem rachmana lusikuchofer lasher v'rosh alamos. Lenevesh rotzeach v'alamali shmamina lenevesh rotzeach etel lokeach kofer etel lokeach kofer lasher v'ar shein lechosver.
Okay, so far that's important. So far, that's not the mazik and nizman. Keep going. But that's, of course, the idea of kofra, which we'll get to in a second.
He'll
do whatever he wants. That's also fascinating. But how would he be able to do one or the other? Again, two modes of payment, right? To address two different mechayim, right? Okay, go ahead. But the part where he talks about you know, finding it?
Can you, yeah. I don't know, is it that?
Yeah, correct? I'll do it.
Come on.
I never realized.
Yeah.
Can I realize it?
He says, oh, he has a good eyesight, he has bad eyesight. You know, that one? Do you have it?
About I'm Amish?
Yeah.
So, Tanya and Razor on the mayor, bottom of $8. Nine times I'm Amish. Amish like a data. Razor, Lace, Kohani tonight. I'm a Rava. Lomar, Ain't Shaman also get. I'm like, buy it. Now, come on, Kim and Korin. Ben Korin, me, Isle, and Kimay. Ela Ravashi, Lomar, Ain't Shaman also Beniza, Ela Bamask.
Oh. Okay, why?
So it's based off the
Kofra
idea.
Exactly. So what's the, who's the victim?
Nizak's
the
victim.
So the Nizak lost his eye, and then the Gemara is a whole shock of Atari. Again, what would you do? You know, why don't you do that? You know those lines also? Yeah. Chamed Mazik, but why can't it be? He says because there's no correspondence. Correct?
The other
I'm saying both. I just want all three. So again, the first point of the Gemara is about kofar. Second point is the debate whether it's bin nizak or bin mazik. And then the Gemara basically says that you would have said bin mazik, right? Except that it's never going to be fully correspondent.
Right.
The Hora, it's not the eye, it's the vision. Right? Go ahead.
Right.
Okay, we don't have to go. But you get the base idea. And that's, as we noted, the Rambam picks up on this. And in Hilchos, beginning Hilchos Chobel, right, he quotes a lot of these discussions in the Gemara. And I was suggesting that he does that intentionally, because he wants you to understand that even though technically there's no din of kofar, and technically there's no din of mamish, right? But the yesod, again, the yesod of bidimazik shayminon mamish, that yesod is expressed, the kiyum of it is through tashlumin. But it's not because you're not paying for what you did to the nechbal in the end of the day. What you did to the nechbal, right, according to that view, is the reason that you're paying kofar mitzad ha-mazik. Correct? So this idea, all I'm pointing out is that even for Rabbi Shmuel, Meitav is mechudash. Because in the end of the day, if it's clear that, you know, he's a kechusha, and yesh lo kechusha, meaning the nizak, you have another kechusha, equal kechusha, and you have idis, so why shouldn't we just be taking... it sounds like there's an added element, like there's a din of idis, of meta. But of course, at least he's the victim, so you could say, you know what, we maximize... You know, he's the victim, and therefore we maximize, you know, his loss to at least within what he owns, right? But what does that do with the mazik? Again, here there's no, it's not a kofar thing exactly, but it's not so distant from kofar either. It sounds like, I mean, the way that Reb Chaim was trying to explain the whole, to make karka kakarka, difference between Chavala and Mazik is that you can't really put a price on Chavala, and therefore we use the correspondence, you know, to be Mechayev him, you know, a correspondent amount, but we're not, you know, really paying for what you did. You can't pay for what you did. So are we saying something similar on a lower level, of course, for Rabbi Akiva in Tashlume Mazik? Shaman Bida Mazik? Right? In the worst scenario, if you had destroyed the worst property of the Nizak, right, you wouldn't have to pay such an elite, you know, type of karka. So that indicates, whether you call it knas doraisa or you're building up the mazik, it's very similar, again, to the chavala part, just it's not as extreme. Right? So it sounds like what's not clear, again, you could say that it's a gzeres hakasuv and it's a knas or whatever, and there's a debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva. How far does the knas go? Does it go to the highest? Maybe it's not a din of ki'ilu or kofar or whatever. It's he pays if it happened to you. It's really a din, let me say, for each one. For Rabbi Shmuel, you could say, again, this is just, you know, what idis is to him, and that's the din. Or is it ki'ilu it happened to, you know, it happened to this sada, but, you know, ki'ilu it could have happened even to his best sada, right? And for Rabbi Akiva, I guess the question is, you know, it's a kind of a kofar, you know, in the sense that, let's see how he feels, you know, when he loses his best field, like a, you know, kasha zamam or a kofar, or, you know, something like that. Or it's just the idea, could just be just the idea, that he has to pay, you know, the highest grade tashlumin that he can. So it's not ki'ilu what happened to him. Shomim b'demazik doesn't mean here, you know, what it means in other places, even in Kabbalah, namely, you know, we project, you know, as if the scenario had been inflicted upon him, you know, let him pay for what he, you know, what he should suffer, you know, in retribution. Not that. It's just that, I mean, if he doesn't have any better feel than this, he's going to pay on a mode level, you know, the most that he can pay, right? But the most that he can pay is the most that he has. So it's not so much ke'ilu it happened to him, that mechayev, like, you know, a Haman kind of, retribution. It's not that. Just he has to pay the premium, and the premium is whatever he has. Can't pay more than what he has. Right? So I think that is open, that's still an open question. Okay. But either way, whether we look at this, you know, Meitav question, both for Rabbi Shmuel and for Rabbi Kiva, as kind of more of a technical, you know, how do you pay question, or more as, again, reflecting, you know, a different level of Machayev, that's an open question. I think, again, both for Rabbi Shmuel and for Rabbi Kiva, there are two ways, you know, to look at it. The Shamban Nizip and the Shamban Mazik. The idea that Gufo, we might be Mechalek between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva in this question, I think is possible as well. Notice that there might be a qualitative difference between them. That for one, it is a question of a different Mechaivim, or reflecting a different Mechaiv other than Tashlumin. And for the other, maybe not. Maybe just a technical question of how you pay. Yeah.
This could stem from my lack of familiarity with the Gemaras and Kippur, but I understood from the Gemara later on in Zion of Days that the entire benefit of Idis was just because it's the easiest to sell.
That's certainly one of the things that makes it a better... Well, we'll see. We'll see about that, whether that's the only...
If that was true, then wouldn't paying with Idis actually make the payment more...
I mean, the Gemara brings that in later. So we'll see what it's not necessarily true earlier, right, of what they think. But we'll see also whether that itself is for the pragmatic sale part of it, or whether that isn't just a shiur in what makes it better. Like, who says that, you know, better qualities? Like Rashi, it's interesting. I mentioned that Rashi in the Mishnah and Gittin emphasizes, you know, that people just prefer that quality. It doesn't mention that part of it. People jump all over it and know. The Gemara does say that. So these are different perspectives a little bit, you know, within different views in the sugya, or these are different ways of explaining objectively why this is a higher grade payment, you know, and even if it's not pragmatically for that reason alone, that's what differentiates it. Because otherwise, like, you know, who's to say that quality, less quality is better than more quantity. Like, sure, there are people out there who don't think that is true. Once you bring in the factor of, oh, most people prefer that, let's say the Rashi there, or, you know, people, that it has just an easier, you know, resale value. You know, it's almost like cash. It's the benefit of, you have both together. You have real estate, you know, and it's fungible practically, because people are, you know, or standing in line for quality real estate. So then it isn't so much, oh, he gets that benefit as much as he is. That determines that Alpidin has a different quality. So I think those are two things. But we'll get to that. Oh, we'll have to stop in a minute. Okay, so, right, these are questions we're going to have to discuss. You know, we're showing them to see all these things, but these are all legitimate questions. And again, whether or not there isn't some difference between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, and again, in which direction? Because again, for Rabbi Akiva, you know, I think Rabbi Akiva has the most, you know, it seems like the most intriguing shita, because again, the mazik isn't the victim. But so one way to look at it is, oh, we're ke'ilu, you know, projecting that this happened, like, to the worst scenario that it happened to him, and let him pay for that, almost like a kofar. Especially if we're comparing it to the Chovel example of Shamban ben Mazik. In the end, we paskin, of course, Shamban and Nizik in Kabbalah. But the other way of looking at Rabbi Akiva, which is that it's not so much that, you know, ki'ilu this happened to him and ki'ilu would happen, you know, to his, you know, to, you know, in the worst case scenario to him. But that, you know, he just has to pay in the manner which is most painful to him or most helpful for various reasons, you know, to the Nizak. And that depends what he asks. Right. If you say it that way, right, so actually Shamed B'Damazik, that Shamed B'Damazik is in a way could be more Tashlumen oriented than Rabbi Yishuel's Shamim, you know, B'Nizak. Because at the end of the day, the Nizak is the victim. So that would make, you know, Rabbi Yishuel's position, as I say, more moderate than Rabbi Akiva's on the surface. But at the end of the day, you don't have the same argument that you have with Rabbi Akiva, and that is that, why should the range of the Nizak's property matter when it comes to the Mazik paying? Either let him pay based on what he, you know, he's a kechusha mishalim, kechusha, I don't mean the amount, I mean the mode, or say, you know, he's a kechusha, we don't care, let him be mishalim, you know, hatov sheyeshlo. Why should it be hatov sheyesh lanizak? Right. So I'm just trying to point out that while this question of how you look at the Meitav issue as a narrower, more practical question, right, or as a mechayev question, well, the question is relevant for Rabbi Shmuel and for Rabbi Akiva, and also you could be mechalek between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva. Which way you would want to be mechalek, I think, is open to question based on what I just said. Yeah.
It's also just interesting that in the Havim, you know, as Tosfos notes, there's only other Havim, you know, within Rabbi Shmuel that you would pay more than what you damage, but not for Rabbi Akiva.
Yeah.
The question how much that impacts the Masana.
Interesting. Yeah. Very good point. Okay, again, in the in the ironic direction that I just mentioned. Yeah. Okay, so I'm going to have to stop here in 1 minute since the pay. So then the Gemara just, I just want to go through the Shaka Vitaria first, and then I want to, you know, break it down more. All right, then maybe we'll stop here for a second. Just that, how do we paskin like Rabbi Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? How do we paskin? Shmuel or Rabbi Akiva? What? Okay, that's a fair answer. Alex? What?
B'Damazik
Shemin or B'Nizik Shemin?
I think B'Damazik.
Ah. So, but of course, there's a bit of a wrinkle, right, in light of Abaya's Ha'ara, right, in Gittin, that that even Rabbi Shmuel might agree with Rabbi Akiva, Mipnei Tikkun Olam, being Drabban. Ah. So, does anybody explicitly paskin like Rabbi Shmuel? Who explicitly paskins like Rabbi Shmuel? Tzvi? Ari? The Rif. Yeah, the Rif and the Rush. Definitely paskin like. You have there, Alex? I mean, Rabbi Kiva, what did I say, Rabbi Shmuel? But B'Damazik Shemina, but fundamentally. The Rif and the Rosh paskin that way. Any trouble finding it? Oh, we'll pick it up, I guess, with tomorrow. The question is about the Rambam. Moshe, why is there a question about the Rambam? What?
I didn't see the Rambam.
You didn't see the Rambam yet? What's the problem with the Rambam? Eitan? Where? No? Okay, the next line, we'll just read the next line of the Gemara, and then we'll see the problem with the Rambam, and then we'll talk about it. Then we'll talk about the next line, and I'll give you much more extensive things to look at for tomorrow. But again, I want to just move through some of the issues first, just to get the bigger picture. Read one more line, more lines, just the... What's this Kavachomer from Kachim, right? So that's a din that we've mentioned before, but we haven't had a chance to explore it so much in detail, and that is Shoreyeu, Re'eu Velo Shel Hekdesh. And that means that even if you're Mazik Hekdesh, then you are potter. That's at least that's the view of Rabbi Shmuel, the Rabbanon, and the Mishnah Lama Zion, right? Okay. Ela Leomer, Harelai, Manu Lebedeka Bayez.
The Asi the Gizbar Veshakum Edis, Loyel Valcho, Valcho Granis.
Yeah, the fact that you owe, again, it's Chaivus Midas money to the fact that the person you owed it to, or the entity you owed it to, is Hekdesh, shouldn't change, you know, the, it's still basically a halva, or basically it's Chaivus, right? Okay. Nechitema. That's, of course, very interesting. That there is a Deya, right, that that every Baal Chov would also be Yiddis. That, of course, changes the entire equation. Right? Now, if Nezikin is unique in being Yiddis, and everything else is either Ziboris or Beinonis, then the idea that either it's just some technical adjustment, you know, to the upside for the Nizak, or to the downside for the Mazik, or it may even be a totally different Mechayim, is very reasonable. But if you think that Yiddis is a universal din, that it applies even in Baal Chov, it just means that default, right, a person always has the right, you know, to be paid, you know, with the best, you know, with the best commodity out there. That's the default. You could have had a default situation in just regular tashlumim or chiyubim or iskaibus, where, you know, the person paying is in control, and he gets to give, you know, anything he wants. Or you could have had a default situation where the person paying, you know, is always, you know, the burden is always on him, meaning it's always dictated by the makabel, right? It's if you take the view that, you know, only ziburis or maybe even beinonis, you know, and that that metav or idis is singular to things like mazik, but then our whole discussion, you know, that's an adjustment, that's something more fundamental on a knas level and on a real fundamental level, you know, comes into play. So that's, it's very important to know what's going on around us in terms of Idis, Beinonis, and Ziburis. Meaning, what about Ksuva? What about Baal Chov? What about other Chaivus Midas, etc.? Okay. Chitem is Savra, Bihima, Kol, Baal Chov, Nami, Bihidis, Ikele Mifrach, go ahead.
Mala Baal Chov, Shekin, Yafa, Kol, Chov, Benazikin. Thor, Mahekdish,
because you're Chayiv for Baal, for him, right? Shehura, Kol, Chov, Benazikin. Yeah, go ahead.
Thor, Mahekdish, Hor, Kol, Chov, Benazikin. Om, the Negach, Tori, Dalon, Tori, Lekish.
Oh. So what's that? That's an unbelievable idea. That Rabbi Kiva holds like Rabbi Shim ben Menasseh. Rabbi Shim Menasseh holds that there's no, the opposite. As we are familiar with the idea of Re'e v'lo shel Hekdesh, namely that Hekdesh is rights as a Nizak, as a victim of Nezek, are you know, compromised. What about the idea, the opposite, and that is that if the victim is Hekdesh, that there's no kula of Karen Ta. Right? Of course, that's a very challenging idea. We'll talk a little more about it tomorrow, but it's a challenging idea anyway, because if you hold, again, the more radical view, what I call it, the more simple view, you know, but of Rabbeinu Tam, of Stam Shvarim, you know, Becheskas, or La Becheskas Shimor Kaimi, right? So then what difference should it make whether, you know, does the animal know whether it's Hekdesh or whether it's Hedyot? Right? Bechichol de Nevia. Right? Can we still say that? Yeah. So as long as you don't say Tachnun, you can still say that. Or Til Pesach Sheni. Yeah. So, right? So basically, you know, what happened, why is Hekdesh not have the kula of Shartan? But the truth is we've encountered this before. Where did we encounter before? For Rabbi Kiva, actually. In? What else doesn't have the kula of Shartan? Michael?
Shardazagada.
Right. So you could say psychologically that's different. So what we were trying to explain then was that sometimes the victim, I was trying to suggest this also, again, in our more recent Shul, we did our Pinar Moshe, right? That the victim, you know, can, in some cases, you know, define the Mechayev. Right? Do we look at this as an attack? Do we look at it, you know, as something which is mitzurif to the Bailim? Right? We're talking about, you know, Shor da Azik Shor da Azik Adam is different than Adam da Azik Shor and Adam da Azik Adam. Right? But maybe even, according to Rabbi Kiva, even Shor da Azik, you know, Adam, that's what the Gemara was saying, right, is different. We don't look at it the same way. You know, we don't look at this as a kind of a, you know, the animal did it. Vis-a-vis, you know, the victim, there's no animal, right? The animal is only an extension of the bailim and of his responsibility, right? So here we're saying something similar about the victim of Hekdesh. So this is an important, you know, view in terms of Karen Tam. And again, it's another Rabbi Kiva view, probably connected. But either way, one of the things that emerges from here is that, and of course it's exactly the opposite in terms of looking at Hekdesh. Hekdesh as, you know, as a victim that's not Mechayev, or Hekdesh as, you know, something, as an entity in which we're hypersensitive to its Hezek, Ad Kedei Kach, that we redefine Tam. Right? So in addition to being important for Tam, right, this is also very important for Hekdesh. Okay. Either way, for the moment, and this will stop for today, is that it sounds like the Gemara thinks that what? It sounds like the Gemara thinks that Rabbi Akiva's view, that the Damazik Shaiminan, right, is Haba Hatalia with paskening like Rav Shimon ben Menasya. Okay, do we paskin like Rav Shimon ben Menasya? Does the Rambam paskin like Rav Shimon ben Menasya? Or does the Rambam paskin that Re'eu v'lo shel Hekdesh?
Yeah,
the Rambam paskins. So this is a question that some of the Nosei Kelim discuss. You know, can you paskin? The Rush says, you know, in our sugya, look at the Rush, says that you know, you can paskin like Rabbi Akiva b'demazik shayminon, even if you don't paskin like him regarding Rav Shimon ben Menasya. But some of the Farshim of the Rambam weren't so sure about it, and they weren't sure, you know, whether the Rambam's psak of B'demazik Shaiminan wasn't maybe based on Abaya, right, who holds that even Rabbi Shmuel basically holds on a policy level B'demazik Shaiminan. It a little bit depends also on the psak, possibly on the psak, about Yisomim. Again, we're going to get to the end of the sugya on also there in Anizakin, and here also the discussion. Are you govem minichse yisomim? You know, midinizak, I mean midamazik, you know, shayminan as well, or not? Okay? Is it dindoraisa or not? Or does it depend on being a dindoraisa or not? Okay, we'll stop here. So we'll try to figure out what is the psak of the Rambam, and again, we have to talk about Hekdesh a little bit. What's going on with the... let me say two things before we leave. One is that the din of Meitav Sadeu, the din of Idis, I think we mentioned this earlier in the year, but I want to repeat it, food for thought, is in the Parsha of Shein Varegel. Okay? So again, it's clearly not limited to Shein Varegel, but, you know, I'm always convinced that these phenomena are important. That's why did the Torah, you know, particularly accentuate Shein Varegel, accentuate the Meitav in the context of Shein Varegel? Is it even? Is it, you know, especially? You know, only? And then it's, you know, kind of just like we were talking about Ravina saying, oh, it's a din in, you know, Chamsun and Gazlan. You know, and then from there it's projected out to the rest of the group. You know, if it had been in the Parsha of Chamsa and Gazel, that would work great. Anyway, it's something to think about. I'm not sure what the answer is. I have some theory about it, but something to think about. The other thing to note, and this we have mentioned also, is that Re'eho Velo Shel Hekdesh is specifically in the Parsha of Kerentah. And of course, that raises a... We know that Meitav does apply, you know, even to Rabchia and Ramosha, never mind the other Abbasazik, and that's clear, despite the fact that its origin isn't Shein. Maybe it's an origin isn't Shein Rav because that's the everyman. Maybe that's because it's really kind of the generic mazik, or that's my theory, that it's the least threatening or least, you know, so even Shein Varegel is still viewed as mazik, you know, legabe meta. Again, there could be other theories. I don't, you know, just telling you what my muskal rishon is. Either way, I know it's important to know that fact and to think about it. Okay, my personal theory is that that's what it is. But it's also... a parallel question about the Hekdesh, except that in Hekdesh there are Rishonim who think that that might limit it, meaning that the tour of Hekdesh is limited to Kerentah, or at least it doesn't apply to all of the Mazikim. This we had already a little bit. If not, then it's a similar kind of question. It doesn't mean that the same answer, but you know why. You know, does the Torah make this larger point, you know, about Keren Tam? Is it even Keren Tam? Is it, you know, only, not only, if it isn't only. So we should talk about that briefly as well, and then we'll continue in the Shakla Tarya. Okay, and we'll expect.